Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Bote Schneiders.
Kenneth Herland.
Tony Keel.
Oscar Velzi.
With guest co-host...
Cesareth.
Hold on one second while I cough my brains out.
Tony?
I just muted all of it for you, man. I didn't want to put you through that. Welcome to Modcast, an official production of a Politan Civilization site. This is episode 9. Today, we are joined with Oscar Elohim Velzi.
Hello.
Walter Locutus Snyders.
Good evening.
And me, Tony Garrett Zaka Keel. And we have a special guest co-host, Stephen Cesareth Weissa.
Cheers, guys.
For some reason, Wilder, people keep wanting to come onto the show, and they just still haven't figured out that we're actually just morons.
I'll give them time.
Yeah, well, it's just basically, it comes down to, you know, once they wise up, they're going to drop off the spectrum, or lose another listener, or we could just try to get all our listeners to come onto the show. That way we'll take them one at a time, make them our servants forever.
Okay.
Maybe not, but we have a lot of good topics today, and we also have less Ken. I don't know what percentage of Ken we're going to have today. What do you think, Walter?
Well, usually my guess is around 80%. Just for the sake of change, I'll say...
Let's make a bet.
70%?
70% Ken, okay. 70% less Ken today.
I'd say about 50.
50?
Yeah.
Place your bets.
$10 on 50.
All right, I'm putting mine. I'm going on a strange bet. I don't think he's going to show up at all.
Today, in the artist's sketchpad, we covered the World War I infantry by Cesareth and the ever made by Cesareth II and Idi Amin by Ekmek.
Today, in the cartography group, we talked about the Full of Resources map script by Stowe.
Okay, in the Modest Spotlight, we talked with Cesareth, better known as Stefan Weiss, from the Fall from Heaven team, about his artwork and the Fall from Heaven mod.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
We have some really cool artwork by our guest host, Stephen, I believe you suggested the World War I infantry pack and a couple other things.
Well, I just showed you my recent list of artwork, and you picked two, I think?
Yeah, I have some... if you look at the World War I infantry pack, it's really freaking awesome.
Thanks.
It looks like he actually tried to be very realistic with the uniforms.
Yeah.
It actually adds a lot of distinction between the empires.
Yeah, Smitty sent me some nice reference pictures, so I tried to be as close as possible to the original uniforms. I mean, I stylized them a bit to make them look Civ appropriate, but other than that...
I love the bayonets on on the rifles.
Yeah, we just need an animation for it. That would be awesome.
Oh, it's a fixed bayonets?
No, if someone is an animator, well... There is a job for them.
Yeah, we do definitely. The animators are very hard to find.
True.
It seems the units we have here is that the riflemen? Is that the first unit on some of these? And then we have a cavalry. And then there's the machine gunner.
Yeah, those are the early ones. Because the Empire is adapted to trench warfare in between the war. And then they actually gave their troops some helmets and... modern weapons and stuff.
Oh, now I see that. That's awesome.
You have two versions, you know, one with funny hats and the other one with steel helmets and stuff.
Oh, so they wisened up that the funny hats don't really protect the brain.
No, not at all.
they definitely add style points, though, and it looks like the Russians have a pretty cool-looking helmet even after they lost the funny hat.
Yeah, more protection, less fun, so...
Yeah, well, war, you know, I guess they just you know, realize it's not that much fun. I mean, all right, guys, we got to take off our cool hats. The very last guy on the right has some kind of crazy-looking gun that it was taken off of, like, a biplane or something. What is that last gun he's carrying?
It's called a Lewis gun. You can actually Google it. It's or Wikipedia it. It's quite big, yeah, and it has a really, really big cooling unit. This is why it looks so big. The barrel is really, really big for cooling.
I've never even seen one of those.
I've heard of it before, but I don't remember too much about it. Wasn't it like a really early machine gun or automatic rifle or something like that?
Yeah, they had those stationary heavy machine guns, which were water-cooled. Mm-hmm. And then in the late stage of the war, everyone developed some smaller, lighter machine guns to actually storm the trenches and stuff.
Ooh, it shoots a big-ass bullet, but not many of them in a clip, though.
Yeah, it has this funny round-shaped magazine on top of it.
That's awesome. That guy's just humping it with it, though. He's carrying that thing.
Yeah, you need strong guys.
We got a German with a flamethrower and a gas mask? Or is that a flamethrower he's carrying?
Yeah, it's a flamethrower. Actually, on the screenshots, you can see it in action. Beneath the desk, picture of the figures, you can see some random battle scenes. And in the top right, you can see it in action. It's Alaskan Assassin did the original effect. I think you had it on the show already.
I think we did. Yeah, that was too awesome to pass up.
And I just added a cool gas mask, so he looks really creepy, I think.
I think you could make a whole third unit set with all gas masks on.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, actually.
Because I think at one point they just started really lobbing the chlorine gas at each other all the time.
Yeah, actually, I asked Smitty if he wants to have something like this, and he was thinking about it. So if he comes back, perhaps there will be a set of all gas mask units.
And you know, just to digress further, I think chemical warfare is a rather distasteful aspect of war, but a dedicated World War One mod, I hope he does something really creative with the chemical warfare.
I think it's planned. Let's see what he comes up with.
I want to see what he has in mind for graphics. He should hit me up, because I would love to do, like, mustard gas fumes or something floating and all these squares covered with yellow fumes.
Yeah, I can definitely think of something like this.
It would be rough if your guys didn't have the gas masks. So.
I must say that the texture work is really amazing, especially considering it's 128 texture.
Well, yeah, it was quite new for me to work with such a low texture again. And even it has only 400 polygons. You have to really think about it. This is really not easy, getting so low with polys.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make it suitable for real big battles, so they had to have a good performance.
Yeah, and how did you do the textures?
I just hand-painted them in Photoshop with my tablet.
Yeah.
So it's all just pixels. It was real pixel work. You can see a original size texture on the last picture, and most of the details just consist of one pixel lines and stuff. So it was quite it was quite tedious.
These look like completely custom models.
Yeah, they are modeled from ground up and rigged and UVs and textured, everything handmade, no cheating involved.
Wow.
And the first texture you made was a bigger size, and then you made it to 128?
No, I painted it
directly.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Directly in 128. Yeah, I got this fancy Wacom painting tablet, you know? Those,
oh, you got the Wacom too?
Wacom 3, yeah. It's brilliant. I just love it. It's so fun to do texture work with it.
Nice. Yeah, I bought the tablet. I'm glad that you suggested this on the list of files you wanted to do, because these are impressive units.
Yeah, I think they are around 50 units or something. This was really, you know, factory work.
Yeah, I believe it.
But I was fascinated by the idea and to work with Smitty on a World War One mod, so I just did it.
I think you did the right thing, because the more I see of this World War One mod, the more it looks like it's going to be a necessity for all Civ fans to play.
Well, what I want to have is real cool trenches, but I don't know if we can figure that out.
Well, we'd have to mess with the terrain meshes.
Or the height maps, yeah.
You'd have to actually go into there and see if you can, you need SDK too. We don't have Ken, but you could do it, I think.
Yeah, someone has to find out. I mean, it's definitely worth investigating, but I don't have the time, so
you could maybe even set it up with models and then make the units submerged, like submarines, so they'd move down.
Yeah, probably. Several good ideas.
Either that or you just could make a cool-looking terrain or texture.
Yeah, that will be the last resort. So if nothing else works, I will just paint them. So.
Well, the very least, you could get an aerial photo of a trench.
Ah, true.
And then texture that down. So just because I don't really know what trench networks look from above. Well, this one is awesome. I give it 2 thumbs up. We have another one by you, Cesareth. It's called Elven Female Mage.
Yeah, this is a Fall from Heaven one. You have to click the small picture to see the bigger one.
Really?
Yes. And then you can actually click it again to make it even larger.
Okay, now this one's really cool. I see yet another beautiful texture work. And I love this mage. She has a awesome, like, I don't know, summoning staff or magical staff that has a skull and wicked horns coming out of it.
Yeah, I really wanted to make it deer totem thing. That was,
yeah.
I really wanted to implement it. Some people said, well, it's too creepy for an elf and stuff, but I wanted to have it there. Here you can actually see this is a 265 texture, so...
Oh, yeah. It's a little different, but...
It's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But still not too big.
What does her animations look like?
It uses the Mali Skirmisher, the Chevalinia, and...
Wait, does she chuck that staff or something?
No, the staff is fixed. She moves it like... they will actually, instead of throwing a spear... Because in the animation file, it's in the NIF, it's usually 2 spears, one which is in her hand, which then disappears, and one which actually appears when she throws something. So I don't let it disappear, but just let her throw a fireball or something instead of a spear.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So she just smashes the staff, and she just moves it, and then the fireball comes out.
Nice.
Sweet.
I gotta remember that. See, I've been doing nothing but modern mods, so I never learned about making magic, but... After I finish Second Revolution, I'm making a fantasy mod.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of work for Fall from Heaven, so...
Oh, dude.
A lot of fantasy stuff.
For example, how much time did it take you to make this unit, the one, the Earth?
Well, it's hard to say, because it's not made completely from the ground up. I used parts of other models I already modeled before, so
yeah.
I usually put it together and then just... redo the UV map and stuff. Well, it takes me one evening to model it, then another one to fix all this stuff and get the UV map laid out and rigged, and then another one to paint it, usually.
Oh.
Ouch. 3 days.
Three evenings, if you want to say it like this.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, every day I get to put in a few hours into any kind of project, I consider that a day.
Okay. Yeah, 3 days, basically. Well, on a weekend, I could do it in one, perhaps.
That's what that, things are beautiful.
That would really hurt your eyes, so...
you get that headache.
For example, for this unit, did you make a concept art or you did it on the fly?
No, I never do concept art. I have several, resources I get inspiration from and see, this looks cool, or here, detail or something I would like to have. But then I go and just make it on the fly, and the model evolves while I model it. And then sometimes I add stuff when I'm almost done, and... You know, it's just being creative.
Sweet.
Well, it's definitely part of being an artist. The technique is secondary. The inspiration and creativity is the primary.
Yeah, I do it for relaxing and stuff. You know, it's it's not that I get money for it or do stress about it, so.
Well, yeah, as soon as you get a job, it's no fun.
Yeah, this one's great. It's really relaxing to do this.
Well, the units look great. I think we'll go into more a little bit of what you plan on doing in the modern spotlight. I want to know about what your projects you have in the future and what to expect.
Well, the biggest project is Fall from Heaven 2. I mean, it's still not completed.
Oh, yeah.
And we still have a big list of art to do for that. And, I mean, the mod itself will really evolve into something I can't predict yet, so... I mean, we got our own subforum with subforums. We got our own mod mods. And
we were talking about mod mods.
Yeah, brilliant. There's actually one guy doing a dungeon adventure mod, so he transforms the whole thing into a role-playing game, so with big dungeon walls and stuff in the Fort Romance, I think. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
I think I saw something about that being posted, but I just sit there and wonder in my mind how to implement. But I bet he's busy on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. Fall from Heaven will take some time, and we are doing a lot of scenarios and a real campaign with story and things.
All right. We had something else. This leader had I wanted to put on last week, I think.
No, it was like 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, 2 or 3 shows, yes.
That's like 2 months ago. That's not a week ago. I don't understand. Okay, anyways. This one was just creepy and cool looking. Yeah. And I don't know if anyone knows about the world, but there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Africa. And this leaderhead by Ekmek is called Idi Amin.
Idi Amin.
Idi is his first name, and Amin. And I'm assuming, let's just say General or Presidente or whatever.
I think he's more general.
He used to be a dictator of Uganda.
Because general...
A lord of war.
Well, sometimes generals spontaneously convert into presidents.
Like, yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah. It's like a metamorphosis. They go into a cocoon and come out a president. But this guy, it looks like... Is that who? Is that Shaka? Shaka's face?
I don't know.
On this leader?
I think so.
Because yeah, I just recently did a Zara Yaqob, and I don't think that's him. This guy looks way more angry than Zara Yaqob.
It almost looks like the bottom half of his face is a different model than the top half. Sort of from the nose down is a different, I almost get that idea. Or maybe it's just me.
Well, he's got a weird hat on, too. That's looks like the Stalin hat. I wonder if Ekmek had mesh-edited the face to look a particular... Does anyone... Let's see what this guy looks like in real life, since we're doing...
Oh, yes.
Leaderheads now.
Idi Amin Dada.
You know, I think the only thing that I would change, because I've looked at the real guy... The real guy in real life looks a lot more well-fed than the guy in the leaderhead. But other than that... I mean, he got the uniform right, he got the hat right. There's burning huts in the background, so that's right.
He was the president. The president of Uganda.
Oh, I was right. He did. He went from general to president, and he was there for 2 years.
And he killed a lot of people.
2 years? I think he was in power for a bit longer than 2 years. Probably closer to 30 or 40 years, if I'm not mistaken, but that's going by memory.
8 years.
8 years.
Enough is eight years.
Oh, sorry. And
he killed around 100,000 to 500,000.
Not too bad, but he's still a genocide upstart.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for scaring away half our audience again.
I kill 50,000 in a weekend. Come on. All right, never mind.
It's a good thing that most Ugandans don't have internet.
Actually, at the end of his mandate, he was not only president, he was His Excellency President for Life, Field Marshal Al-Shadi Doctor, Idi Amin Dada. Ah, wait, it goes on. No. Wait. It's also BC. I don't know what it is. DCO, MC, Lord of all the beasts of the earth and fishes of the sea, and conqueror of the British Empire in Africa in general, and in Uganda in particular.
Oh, wow. They got someone else to say that every time he walked somewhere. He'd probably get tired of hearing it after a while, though.
Yeah. But
Lord of all the beasts and the fishes?
All the beasts of the earth and the fishes of the seas. And conqueror of the British Empire. In Africa in general and in Uganda in particular.
Well,
he got a big ego.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. But I think that there is not enough African leaderheads. So that's just my personal opinion. I think there needs to be more. I mean, if we just look at percentage of land mass... There should be more, but
the model.
Then we should have 5 or 6 penguins as leaderhead of Antarctican civs too.
Dude, you could do one that looks like, you know, the Linux penguin, You know?
Well, our ex-president looks like a penguin, but that's another story.
you probably get a lot of penguin emigration from Antarctica. How do you deal with the immigrants of penguins?
Well, we got that out of space in the Patagonia, so that's no problem.
Yeah, we all live.
And we can see in the leader head that the sky is red, like blood red.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I felt that like huts were burning with that kind of sky, you know?
Because he's evil. So, the sky is like a murder.
Yeah, he's not even at all nice. And I think even on his smiling picture, he's not smiling. He's more like, I don't know, frowning and grimacing. This is me happy. Now I am mad. Okay, now I'm happy again.
Okay. Well, but it's great.
And Ekmek.
Yeah, very good looking.
Ekmek.
He's a little too brilliant. The skin's shiny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can turn that down in Nip Viewer if you need to. I sometimes have to turn down specularity. Those guys, turn it down. They look sweaty or greasy.
What?
Yeah.
With all the burning.
That's probably
stuff.
Hot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, burning hot.
In the cartography room, we talk about maps and simple scenarios.
We have here a map script that I was playing by someone named Stowe, and I tell you, it was fun to play this map script, and I recommend everyone try his new Beyond the Sword beta version.
So, yes. What makes this map script so different from, say, the standard map scripts?
Well, first off, when you load the map script, it actually has a separate interface within Civ. I think at Python, it makes a whole new Python interface. When you load the script, a pop-up screen fills the whole screen with several tabs, the first of which, a tab containing most of the standard vanilla Civ map scripts that you can tweak a little bit in there. And then the next tab, for instance, would be resources, and you can increase the percentage of resources generated and of which type, so you can have a little bit more stuff out on the field. You can also, on another tab, force, turn off, or leave the same the starting location filters. Apparently, once the map is generated, the start locations are fine-tuned to have river, mountains, some starting resources. You can mess with those also. You can also mess with how barbarians work. You can have them start with their own cities, fully built, so they won't be roving, but they'll just be sending huge armies. And you can also mess with your initial techs. You know, I could keep going for hours, and I haven't even covered all that you can do with this script.
This is new in Beyond the Sword, then, because I didn't see there was a beta out. I just played the regular Civ 4 version, and that didn't have any of that. It had some of the... a lot of different options are crammed into sort of your standard map selection interface, and that really did not work for me.
No, he expanded.
This sounds like it could actually, even that was the suggestion I was going to make as how to improve this mod. And it sounds like, yeah, you read my mind, basically. Yeah, he did the same thing.
You know, what's even cooler is he also, because there's such a huge interface and so many selections, there's an export button. The export says an XML or a little text file, the selections you chose into the map script folder. And so if you want to, instance, set up a game with this setup, you spend a half hour setting it up, and then you save it. So if you want to change it, you don't have to go back and change everything back. So it exports the settings.
Well, that's pretty interesting. And how do you import setting? Is it a separate map script? Or?
It's just a button. It's a button within the map script. And when it just saves the settings that you've picked in the script as a little XML, and it will load itself back in.
Okay, and you can then tweak them further if you want to. You're not completely stuck with the settings that you exported.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a very cool concept. And this screen, when does it show this? In the map setup screen or in the game itself after you generated the map?
Well, this big screen of the interface pops up as soon as you select the map script. It pops up. And once you confirm your settings, it disappears and goes to the regular map script screen. But the only difference is it has an the regular map script screen of temperate climate, ocean level, and then it says click on this button to bring up the interface again. So if you pull down and select the button, it'll bring that big pop-up menu again.
Wow, that is very impressive stuff, because most of the stuff is completely hard-coded. I didn't know you could even do something like that.
It's just a Python file, Rotter. It's one Py file, and he did all this.
Yeah, that's very, very impressive stuff. I really want to see this in action now.
Oh, Rotter, I guarantee if you play this, you'll be so impressed, you'll probably play through, I'd say, two entire games of Civ on it, because it brings a lot of life to the old scripts that we're getting kind of tired.
Well, that's sort of my other criticism with this. The maps that it generates are, for the most part, not that different from the standard maps. I mean, if you're into sort of micromanaging all the different settings on your map, it's pretty cool. But personally, I'm more interested in completely different map types, like the tectonics thing that we talked about. And you and I were both posting about another map script in the scripts forum earlier this week, I think. Hopefully we can put that the BTS creation map script, also very original, very fun. Maybe we can put that on the topic list for next week.
Oh, good idea.
But yeah, those are completely different types of maps, and that's more my type of thing. This is really cool if you want to micromanage exactly how much terrain of this, exactly how much terrain of that. But personally, just more of the same to me.
Well, I increased the resources a lot, and what I would like to see added to this, and this is separate to my criticism, which I'll air later, but the thing I want to see is the ability to import map scripts into this. Like, see how he's got Archipelago, Lakes, Terra, Pangea, Custom Continents. I want you to be able to import other more simplistic map scripts into this one so that I can tweak the resources.
Well, I assume that this is sort of, this is not a completely separate install. This is a whole bunch of code that he put inside the map script itself. So the only way you can import other map script is by actually opening those map script files and pasting in this whole menu thing or whatever you did into that map script. You can't just import it like that.
Well, then he could add some more custom scripts to this than I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how this works. I definitely want to check this out. I'm sorry that I didn't see the beta version, because that sounds really cool. But yeah, it sounds like it should be relatively easy to add this sort of stuff to other map scripts. But of course, I mean, I haven't seen the code.
Understanding to have this, all this interface and stuff, the code is pretty big. It's a pretty big map script, and it brings me to my criticism. The map load times, I'd say, are twice as long or longer than a normal scripting.
Well, that's just the load times. I mean, once the map is made, it plays normally.
Of course.
At least what I noticed from the game or two that I played. Yeah,
but sometimes if I'm playing advanced start, I'll reload the starting position until I find something more favorable to my strategy.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of annoying. Personally, I don't really mind, because it's a one-time thing. As long as it's not like 20 minutes, I can wait a minute or two for a map to load.
It's just a minute or two, but I have a smoking computer, and I can tell that it's using the Civ engine at a higher pace than these scripts normally would do.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I noticed a considerable slowdown in even just loading all the options for the sort of vanilla game setup. It definitely took maybe 20, 25 seconds to just load all the map options. I assume it's going to be a little bit smoother if it's in a separate menu, but again, I'll have to play that.
Yeah, and as I said, this is also the beta. I did not have any crashes, by the way, but I'm sure that this person, Stowe, who I don't know personally, is going to optimize and streamline this new interface and code so the load times will go down. Stowe, thanks for your effort. You should come on the show.
He's not going to come, huh?
We don't know.
Come on the show. Silence. Come on, Stowe. Where are you? Come here.
Oh,
we're waiting.
Modding Spotlight, where we interview and talk about modders and what they do in the Civ community.
Steven, how are you doing? You hanging in there?
Yeah. still here.
Wait till you hear the latest episode of Modcast. You will hear the, well, the last episode for the listeners, but we definitely scared Knickknacks 93 really bad. Yeah. Yeah, but we scared him bad. Actually, he got disconnected.
Obviously.
From power loss, but we thought he had left.
okay.
We didn't make it to the modern spotlight, but now we made it. So what it comes down to is we're all going to ask you questions that we make up. And I'm going to ask you, where do you live and what do you do?
Well, I live in Germany, in the nice city of Bayreuth. And I'm studying here, chemistry.
Oh.
I will start my diploma thesis in some weeks, two or so. And I already got my lab space and stuff, so pretty cool.
Cool. How old are you?
I'm 24. So I'm in the best age, you know.
Yeah, it's all downhill.
And haven't you thought of living out of modeling and texturing in the game industry?
Well, for a time, yeah, I was really thinking about it. But somehow I will keep it as a hobby. I think it's better. Because otherwise, if you have to make money with it, everything becomes really stressful. And maybe I'm overqualified because I can do, you know, my PhD and stuff for chemistry. So I don't know if I should go into modding.
A PhD in
or
chemistry?
Into game industry.
Oh, okay. So so what you mean to say is you like to go to school.
Yeah, well, that will be the route I'll have to take. After my diploma thesis.
I know. Are you there yet?
Well, no. PhD is, you know, my doctor title.
Tony didn't even finish high school. So for him, that's pretty impressive.
No, I'm not there yet. I will do my diploma thesis for half a year, and after that, I can start with a PhD.
Wow. Now, I graduated in the ninth grade here in Arizona.
You graduated?
that's pronounced graduated.
Okay.
Don't you know how to read?
Okay.
You guys just need to have a mute button to press when I start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as long as you're happy, it doesn't matter, does it?
Oh, boy, we'll fix it in
post. Oh!
The problem is that he's the one that's editing the show.
Yeah, I could do it if I wanted to, but I...
Yeah, he will rearrange our sentences and make fun of us.
You just did. Oh, Wouter, you are so...
Don't give him ideas.
Yeah, you just give us a list of random words we have to say, and then you're going to do some funny creative stuff.
Let's just put it this way. Wouter, you are so screwed.
Just remember who has to upload the episodes once you're done.
That's true.
Well, you always mix Walter's words in editing.
Yeah, exactly. It gets screwed every week anyway.
Oh, man, that's too funny. Wouter, you ask him a question. You haven't thought of anything.
So, is it for the first game you've modded, or have you modded other games before?
Well, it's the first serious game I modded. I did some stuff for a very unknown game called Dominions 2. It was like you had several pixels of units, and they only had two animations, like one standing and one using their weapon. But there were so only two pictures for a unit, and you had to really paint it. You could do it with paint or something, with Windows Paint. So it was quite funny, but nothing serious.
Oh, that's old school, though.
Okay, so did you learn your modeling skills and things like that for specifically for Civ, or had you picked that up somewhere else?
Well, I started, when I was young, I started doing, like Corel Draw stuff and designing logos and things, but nothing really, just playing around. But I always liked, how do you call it? Image editing and photos and texts and stuff. So I always liked art at the PC, but, 3D modeling is something I did. I started, I think, last December or something. So 1 year ago.
Wow.
And texture painting. Yeah. 1 year ago.
Wow.
So before I did all the stuff you guys do, like rearranging things in the viewer and asking other people to model and cutting, pasting textures. But at some point I wanted to do my own, so I just tried to learn it. And Blender's a really, really great tool because it's free and it's small and nice to handle. So
it's stable too.
And it's brilliant. You just have to get used to it. there are a lot of tutorials and stuff.
Yeah, but there is a crap load of tutorials, and it just comes down to what level, what comfort level you have on learning modeling, and what you can start off in various ways to learn modeling.
Yeah, it's just a question of motivation, I think. If you really want to do your stuff, you will get used to it really, really quickly. I mean, you can learn it really fast.
You've done a lot of artwork in the past. I've seen, like, I think you're one of the top contributors for artwork, and if not the top for the fantasy artwork.
Well, yes.
And let me ask you this. Is there going to be a Sazerith mod, or perhaps some mod that you are going to sit at the throne and do the art, set up the mod, everything? Is there a mod out there, or are you working on a mod?
Yeah, well, it's called Fall from Heaven.
Oh, I know. Well, we all understand that you've done a whole lot of Fall from Heaven work. Is there going to be anything post Fall from Heaven 2 for you?
More or less, I just suggested the guy who wants to do the Dune mod. You know, the...
Oh, yeah.
I said to him that I can do something like I did for Smitty with a World War One pack for him if he comes to a stage where I see it's not going to get wasted, the work.
That's where I'm at with him, too, yeah.
Because a lot of mods just, you know, they don't succeed in taking the step, you know, taking, how do you call it, and getting to the step where you actually need art. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Dune mod has been talked about for years now. You know, every 6 months someone posts on the thread with new ideas.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, there's no point in spending a lot of work into art if no one does a fun mod with it. So
yeah, well, that's what I think he needs to do with the Dune mod is just get a conceptual framework and XML done, and then plop in default graphics, and then we just fill out a list of all the art we need.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to Smitty, I can do all the infantry stuff, and you see, it was quite a nice pack. So. It's once I get started, it's not a big deal doing small units like this. So he just has to get to the point where I see it makes sense. And perhaps
all that you and I could do is encourage him until he gets to the point where it can really blossom. But a Dune mod, better late than never.
Yeah, or well, perhaps someone else does a cool mod idea, and I see I could actually improve the mod by doing some graphics for him or something, then I might do it. But there's still a lot of work to do for From Heaven, so.
Oh, I believe it. When will that mod be done? Like, where they say, okay, the mod's done, we're just fixing and tweaking now.
Well, actually, we want to have it done, like, this December for the third birthday of Fall From Heaven.
Oh.
And,
okay.
We'll see how realistic it is, but we're good at keeping the schedule.
I've read some of Kale's stuff he's doing. It's definitely a daunting and expansive project.
Yeah.
So for those two people who've been living under a rock for the last 3 years, exactly what is Fall from Heaven and how did you get involved with it?
Well, Fall from Heaven is the biggest fantasy mod for Civilization 4. It's completely unique. I think it's based on some old D&D campaigns of Kale. This gave the original idea, and then we developed like 21 new completely unique civs and a spell system and events, and well, it has so many things. I can't tell all of them, but it's
a total conversion of the game, as we like to call it.
It has its own mods, its subforums, and the original thread started about Fall from Heaven 2 has now over 1 million views and and over 7,000 posts, I think, and we still have a whole subforum. So well, it became quite popular, and I hope it becomes even more popular because I think it's a great thing. And I got in.
For those people who've only played the Beyond the Sword version, it's not just one scenario. It's a complete mod with that.
Ah, that's true. On Beyond the Sword, we had our small scenario telling the story, the story before the actual mod takes place. So you have to kill a god and end the Age of Ice. And then you can play Fall from Heaven 2, the original mod. And you can start recovering Earth after the Ice Age.
Hmm. And let me ask you this. if you were to ever make your own mod that you would be the lead developer, what would the mod be about? Just pretend, even if you're not going to do it for some time, what would it be?
Well, I think it would be something with a with an epical graphical scale. So I mean, a lot of units, small regiments and formations, and a lot of, you know, a lot of effects and stuff. Just to have it really look really epic. I don't like these three-figure units of Civ.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, there are a lot of really cool scenarios you can think of. I mean, you can do of every, you know, I like those stuff up to World War One, you know, where everything is you can actually have an overview of what's going on and not so modern stuff with all the technology and stuff. So I like the...
Oh, so maybe like Napoleonic or later eras and stuff like that, like lots of epic gun battles.
Either Middle Ages, Dark Ages, or Napoleon, or... Well, yeah, it doesn't matter, as long as it's a really great scale.
Awesome.
That would be cool.
So you had to go back to my earlier question. How did you get involved with Fall from Heaven?
I am. That was like in the original thread when they released Fall from Heaven 2, the first version. I told them it's a great mod and they have to pimp it up graphically. Then I see a big success for it. And well, then Kale asked me if I want to pimp it up graphically. And well, then I said, wow, yeah, I take this honor and gonna see what I can do.
Well, you did a great job.
That was the best decision.
And I'm sure that a lot of people who don't even use the internets bought that Beyond the Sword and played Age of Ice.
Yeah, that was really cool to work with Firxis on this. I mean, we only saw them in the forums, but to be, you know, to release stuff on an official product, something as popular as Civ, was really nice.
Yeah, I hope that they remember us when it comes time for Civ 5. Remember us, Jesse, I know you're listening.
Well, I hope they're going to ask Keel and us if we want to do a small project or something. That would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll always be down to help, too, you know? Me too. He hasn't taken much of my art submissions, though.
Right. Well, the funny thing is they allowed us to use all of the art we submitted. So I did wow. Really a lot of art, and that was a crappy time, you know, where units were really bad performance and mixed together and stuff. So I was really scared that they would not take any submission because it's so so improvised, you know. But they did.
How
it
about you?
Yeah, it's cool. So
yeah
it is. I think it was 1.5 years ago or something when I joined.
Really? I thought it was longer, but who knows. I don't know what year is it.
It's 2008, Tony.
Wait, Civ 4 came out in 2005. Yep. Did it not? Wow, that's been 3 years of modding for me.
2.5.
Yeah.
It came out in November, so.
2.5, yeah. So, I don't know. I think Fall from Heaven went from just cool to amazing after, especially artists like you, jumped in. Your units, I can see your work all over that mod.
Well, I didn't. I lost count of how many units I actually produced. I think in general it's above 200 or something, so. This is really crazy. A lot of my time actually went into this.
Well, if you had actually been uploading every single one, you'd be one of the top contributors at CFC.
Yeah, that's true, but most of them I never even put into the unit graphics thread. I just directly put them to Keel and he just implemented it. So it's too much work to upload all of it and stuff.
But just download the mod. And by the way, where do I go to get in on the beta testing for Fall from Heaven 2? Because I see the thread or download page for Fall from Heaven 2, but it's a little bit jumbled, and as you said, it wasn't finished yet. So how do people listening get involved with that?
Well, on the main thread in the Civ 4 mod packs, you click on the links under this Fall from Heaven 2 277 more units and warlords picture. There's links, and then there's Fall from Heaven 2 forum. If you go to the forum, you see the whole sub-forum, and there's so much discussion going on, and everyone has... Somebody actually posted something about he had a dream about Fall from Heaven 2. He was dreaming about some weird stuff. And someone else asks if FFR could be a movie, and they talked about books and stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on. And we have a different strategy section and a lore section strategy. then troubleshooting scenarios, mod mods, and our team forum and stuff. So there's a whole world beneath the main Civ forum.
I hope that they do make a movie for Fall from Heaven, because that would mean that they made a movie of a video game mod. And that's our thing, modding.
I think your way ball is free.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Yeah, perhaps Peter Jackson comes down to the Civ forums. And sees. Ah, cool.
I suspect your chances with Uibo might be slightly better, but you can always try.
That would be amazing.
Oh, man.
Of course, I'm not sure you'd like the results, but...
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe... 441-212-88-7659. That's 441-212-88-POLY. You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@apolyton.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our Sylvan Show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolyton.net.
Alright, groovy. Time's up. Show's over. We gotta run.
Cool. Yeah.
So, for the outro, I want to congrat Nicholas Knight, one of the Fall from Heaven team, for his new baby. He got a cute little daughter. I already saw a picture. And she's really sweet. So good luck with that.
Oh, congratulations from the Modcast.
Congratulations.
Congrats from us all.
I just wanted to thank you, Stephen, for making it onto the show.
Yeah, it was cool. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, that's all we have. We are at the limit. And thank you for listening to the show. And thank you, Wouter, for uploading last week's show. Which you haven't done yet, but you will be done by the time you guys are listening to this, so...
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Today, okay. We have been joined with Oscar Elohim Velzi.
Adios.
Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
Bye-bye.
Me, Tony Garrett Zinzaka Keel. Bye. And with special guest co-host, Stephen Cezareth Weissel.
See you later.
And by the way, Wouter and Oscar, you both owe me $5 because Ken never showed up. 0% Ken.
Oh.
Record date, April 26, 2008.
Sound clips, copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolliton Civilization site at apolliton.net.